Facts and always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. California's governor is calling for an investigation into the loss of water pressure at the start of the Los Angeles area wildfires. FEMA Administrator Deanne Criswell says fire victims will get initial checks of $750.
This recovery journey is going to be long, but we are going to be there with them to support them every step of the way.
Manhattan Judge Juan Merchan has given President-elect Donald Trump a sentence of unconditional discharge in his hush money case with no jail time or fines. Merchan says his hands were tied.
Ordinary citizens do not receive those legal protections. It is the office of the president that bestows those far-reaching protections to the office holder.
CBS's Jan Crawford says the Supreme Court seems ready to uphold a ban of TikTok in the U.S. if its Chinese owners don't sell the app.
They could enter this brief pause to give President Trump, when he takes office, a time to extend this law. That's written into the law. He can extend the law and try to find some kind of deal.
CBS News Brief. I'm Michael Wallace.
Join us live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday from 5 to 6 p.m. for Playmakers, brought to you by Quality Plus Printing. Call in with your sports thoughts and feelings only on WFHR.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. Governor Tony Evers announced yesterday that he signed an executive order declaring an energy emergency in the state of Wisconsin. Winter weather around the region is to blame, as it's impacting the distribution of residential heating fuel, including heating oil and propane in the state. The Public Service Commission's Office of Energy Innovation says that multiple suppliers report challenges such as long lines at terminals and having to drive further distances to collect needed products. This executive order, number 253, will allow suppliers to get caught up from winter weather-related delays. Speaking of, the law of the month is safe winter driving. Snow, sleet, and ice all make it harder to control and stop our vehicles. From October 2023 to May 2024, winter weather contributed to more than 11,000 crashes in Wisconsin, resulting in 9 fatalities and over 2,000 injuries. Give snowplows space to work. Those drivers work long hours to clear nearly 115,000 miles of roads across Wisconsin. And the State Patrol recommends clear snow and ice from your vehicle windows, lights, roof, and hood. And snow means slow. Allow extra travel time, following distance, and reduce your speed. Avoid sudden braking and steering. And don't be overconfident with four-wheel or all-wheel drive. And always avoid using cruise control in winter weather conditions. It's a friendly reminder because we haven't seen much of it. In fact, it's been 650 days since anyone has heard the roar of snowmobiles on Wisconsin Northwoods trails. And as you might expect, the lack of snowfall is hurting the area businesses once again. After a non-existent snowmobile season last year, the Vilas County Snowmobile Alliance says that there is enough snow around most of the county for a base for trails, but it still isn't enough to open them yet. So if they pick up another half foot this weekend, which is possible, they can groom and go. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
The Packers head to Philly. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Packers face the Eagles Sunday at 3:30. The forecast calls for mostly sunny skies and a high of 39. So what are the fans like at Lincoln Financial Field? I asked Packers safety Xavier McKinney, who's played there several times when he was with the Giants.
It's a tough environment. It's loud. Obviously, the fans are like super rowdy. No, they got a good fan base. You know, they got fans that go hard for their team, and which they should. Yeah, it's a good environment for sure.
Basketball, the Badgers host Minnesota tonight. The Bucks are in Orlando against the Magic. Doc Rivers says when he brings in A.J. Green, it's not only for the three-point shot, but defense as well.
When we bring him in, we're bringing in another defensive player. We look at that, and I don't know if the other teams realize that. He is a terrific defensive player. He's competitive. He's tough, and he takes the right shot. So he's been fantastic for us.
That's Bucks head coach Doc Rivers. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Hey, everybody. Glad you could join us. I'm Tim Hubbelt, better known as the Polka Guy, on the Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show.
Join Tim every Saturday and Sunday for a great variety of polkas, waltzes, and more. Wake up at 7 a.m. on Saturday morning to get the weekend started on the right foot, then enjoy a lively Sunday afternoon at 1 p.m. Same great show, two different times, one fun weekend. The Sunshine Polka Party Variety Show, 7 a.m. Saturdays and 1 p.m. Sundays, only on WFHR, locally grown radio.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, highs to the mid-20s. Flurries wrap up Sunday, becoming breezy and colder. High early in the day in the upper 20s, then temps falling. And even colder for Monday and Tuesday. It's 28 degrees right now.
Have you outgrown your health insurance plan? The number one reason we all change our health insurance is price. Are you paying too much for your health insurance? Would you like to have better coverage at a better rate? Take a few minutes right now and find out if you can save money or even qualify for zero-cost health insurance in your state. Call now.
800-693-9308. 800-693-9308. That's 800-693-9308.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
Here's what the WSJ had said after J6. This week has probably finished Donald Trump as a serious political figure. Boy, that hasn't aged well, has
no,
it?
No, not at all.
In the Wall Street Journal. So after what they just said 4 years ago, Maggie, they couldn't bring it upon themselves to say that guy who did that shouldn't be anywhere near the White House again. Nope, couldn't do it.
The Maggie Dawn Show. Weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome the director of the documentary Gold, Paige McKenna, into the studio. And with a preview of the next episode of New Wisco Weekend, host Lisa Hale stops by.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8. Locally grown radio, WFHR.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 10th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Maloff, here, still being proud every time I say 2025. I'm a little surprised I remember every time, but we are going to have fun today at 4:30. We're going to welcome in our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club. Thanks to our friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Visitors Bureau. We're going to be talking about the Krakens and some other stuff with Amy and Dawn, and Dave will be with us. Looking forward to that. In studio right now, we have our friend of the School District of Nakusa, Nathan Black, PhD, District Administrator. Nathan, it is good to have you here. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Enjoy coming back always.
It's always good to talk with you. And just catching up on our kids, especially to start the year. We have a lot of fun talking with Ron Rasmussen, and superintendent of the school district around here and everything. And being able to have this connection with you guys really helps our community. So many members of our community out there have kids in school, of course, but there are plenty that don't. And I think that it's great to keep them up to date on so many of these things as well. So really do appreciate the time, know how busy you are. And I thought a good place to start would be talking about highlights of the school year to date and kind of a recap of the wrap-up of 2024 in some ways.
So it's been a great year to start off. You know, there's been a couple of things that we've really enjoyed. The thing about starting the school year is great being around students. One of the things I love about a district our size is I spend a lot of times in the buildings, and I happen to know a lot of the students from my time as a principal in the middle school, and those students are now high school students for a lot of them. And just being able to hear the excitement that's coming out. Like, one of the things that we added new this year is we have a class called Geometry in Construction. Mm-hmm. So basically what it is we have a class that's taught by a geometry teacher and a tech ed teacher. And they'll learn a geometry principle in the math class, and then they'll go ahead and they'll have their second class where they go in and they'll make something using that principle. And so there's awesome. A lot of, it's basically applied. You're seeing projects that are coming out, but it's the same geometry teacher who teaches all of our other geometry classes mm-hmm. too. And so he makes sure that first coming up this year, but it's been really exciting to sort of watch the students themselves just sort of that light bulb go on and having the connections of not just something that's abstract, but it makes sense in a real world and sets you up for a real world area. This particular class got featured recently by the DPI as they were doing a review of best practices, and it's really some exciting stuff that's going on there.
I know our own Melissa Kay also used a community stories segments on this too and was talking about it. And it's something too that there's so many layers to this for me. Now, certainly the advancement in tech and getting kids up to date on some of those things and being more familiar with those, it's no different than when we were kids and we were first getting computers and PCs brought into our classrooms and some of that. It's very similar to it, I think. But there's also the idea of, and we're seeing this more and more with the education system, where some kids learn better this way, some kids learn better this way. The idea of, hey, if you are a learner that learns better by seeing somebody do it and then you do it, or maybe you learn better by actually just reading about it and then putting into action. We're covering all bases here, I feel like, in the education system much more. I'm not saying that we didn't do a good job of this when we were kids or anything, but I just feel like we've fine-tuned it and tuned it to the point where it's almost every kid is getting that opportunity now, where they're having the way that we learn, and teachers adapting to that so well. Our teachers out there are doing such an amazing job at this.
And what's exciting for that is having grown up in the system where there generally was a one-size-fits-all, and watching now to be able to do it differently and see a lot more engagement when that happens than when I was as a learner myself. I remember my typing experience was on a good old electric typewriter where I had to go ahead and white out my mistakes and all that type of stuff. But seeing what now are the same type of typing stuff that I did in high school is done by our fifth graders. Yeah. On their, but like case in point, one of the things we have new this year in our eighth grade is our district librarian teaches a digital literacy course of being able to say, okay, you're going to be doing a lot of research. You're going to be studying. What can you trust? What are the possibilities? But doing that early, front end load that. And it's kind of fun to see where the students take that. Like over this last Christmas break, my son came home. He's at college. And he brought his fiance home. So we got to know her too. That was fun. But one of the things he wanted to say is, hey, I want to take her on a tour of the schools. I want her to have a see what I grew up with in the area. And I remember him walking into the tech ed room at the middle school. Melissa Kay has also featured that one. But we've got 20 3D printers that are in there. The students are working on it. He looked at the board and says, they're learning Tinkercad in here? Do you have any idea how useful that's going to be to them? Says, yes, actually we do. But the fact is they're not worried about that. They're worried about doing something cool with it.
Right.
And it's just kind of fun to watch those light bulb moments go on. And that's kind of the purpose of what we're really looking at. Like you mentioned, different people learn differently. So we try to create different on-ramps for different people. It might be the same thing, but we're going to have to find a different approach and keep going till you find the right approach. That's teaching.
Yeah, well said. And thank you for, I got that mixed up. That was the story that Melissa featured and everything and did an amazing job. And it was really nice work.
Well, maybe we can cue that one up for too.
We'll get them both. Get them both in there. She'll love it. She'll love that. One of the other things we wanted to talk about as well is kind of how the following through on the priorities coming up in the spring, leading into spring that you have for the school board, for the school district in general.
Yeah. So one of the things that we're always working with, and I'm having to take a much more active role, is school finance and sustainability and how we're being able to manage all the things to make sure that these are great things to be able to do, but we've got to be able to do that in a sustainable way that is especially respectful of our taxpayers and we're representing our community. And one of the notes of that is this April we're moving to a referendum. Now, the backstory on that, and some people are saying, we went to a referendum 5 years ago, and at the time, there's a lot of reasons for that. Just to do I'm not going to do a huge old segment on this, but just a real piece of this is that when the state aid formula is basically based, the way that they fund school districts is very heavily based on property values. And as all of your listeners know, our property values have skyrocketed over the last little while. So actually, since 2008, property values in the Nacoosa School District increased over 73% on those areas. And so the state looks at that as a major area of their funding formula, and they sort of say, okay, you've got you're a property-rich district, even though we're 53% free and reduced lunch in the district, they'll say, okay, you're a rich enough district. The state aid formulas is we'll be taking money from your district and give it to other ones. And so basically what that means that we have a higher percentage of our budget that's done by local property taxes than by state aid because of that funding formula. Is it fair? Is it nice? It is what it is. We work with that. Mm-hmm. And 5 years ago, our taxpayers supported a $2 million referendum to be able to help not just balance the inequities of that, just to be able to help us support it. But they basically said, there's a few things we want. Like, for example, we want more tech ed. And so what we were just talking about, some of those opportunities came as an opportunity because of the investment 5 years ago of our taxpayers to help us do that. There's some additional things like at the time we have a district social worker now who helps us work with students in crisis and families in crisis. And this is pre-COVID. I just can't even think what we would have done working through that and still in how do we deal with a lot of the mental health issues if we didn't have somebody on the plate, on deck to be able to help work alongside families and teachers. So one of the things that this up now, referendums run about 5 years. And so that means that this April, we're going back on the ballot for referendum. And some people have asked, hey, why do you need another referendum? A lot of it is the bulk of and the vast majority of that million of those millions that we're talking about are towards teacher salaries. Mm-hmm. And those are areas to be able we. And so one of the things that this last in November, we sent out a community survey basically to sort of say, hey, let's take basically what we explain to our group that saying, here's where we need to move to referendum again. What is your comfort level of various levels of funding? And we had a great response. Probably we had 875 people responded back.
Nice.
That's about an 18% response rate, which is really high in the industry.
Absolutely.
And with that, it was helpful. Basically, they let us know that over 65% of the respondents were in favor of renewing that $2 million referendum again. And our school board has talked about this one, and they've decided that we're going to, because there are a lot of financial hardships, because there are a lot of changes, basically, even though the costs have gone up in the last 5 years, we're going to go to referendum for that. We're just renewing the same amount. In other words, for every $100,000 of taxes, people will pay $2. And that's what's more, that's the same amount they've already been paying for the last five years.
While other things have risen, that is staying the same. That is noteworthy.
Right. We're asking our taxpayers to say, hey, you really invested in us. We're grateful for what you've done. Let us keep doing that.
Yeah.
And that's going to be our message. And just we want to share our gratitude. We want to share the great things that are happening. And then let us keep doing it. Let's keep working on that. So we're going to be talking about that with with everybody over the next several months as we're leading up to April. But a lot of that message is, hey, you've invested in us. It's made a huge difference. Let's keep doing it.
I started talking about this. It's interesting that we just had Terry Johns, the United Way, in earlier, because it started for me with her and talking through the United Way and learning more about our nonprofits in this area and being in this chair doing this show. I realized really early on that while donation is a great word and it means what it does, what we're really doing here, whether it is with our nonprofits or it is with our school district and something like this and our tax dollars, that $2 is an investment. That is an investment and is one of the greatest investments you will ever make in your life. You are investing in the future. All the things that we are just being told that you were just going over, Nathan, and so many other things that we don't even have the time to cover probably are a big part of that $2, are a big part of what these referendums are about. When you're doing this, you are helping the kids of today. You are certainly making an impact. But what you are completely doing is investing in the future and investing in the greatest resource we will ever have in our kids. And the people that are trying to raise them up, are trying to build them up and make sure that they have great futures, which means we have great futures, which means better taxes and et cetera, et cetera. It's all we are all connected, and this whole thing is a big part of that. I appreciate the detail, the rundown that you give us with this. I really respect the idea of walking into this and saying, look, what happened, how many things in life are the same as they were 5 years ago? Not just price-wise, but just in general, let alone to do something like this. It's noteworthy. And I think that it's noble in many ways. And I don't use that word lightly. But I also, there's a part of me that aches at this too, because of all the industries that need to do this, I would think our school districts are the last to. If you guys were asking for more money, as a taxpayer myself, and as somebody who paid taxes into CUSA for a very long time, I'd be championing this. I'd be right behind it. I'd be happy to do it. In part because I know my kids are all older. My kids are out of school. That doesn't matter. That has nothing to do with this. There are still kids in school. There is still an investment to be made. I appreciate the details of it. I appreciate the feedback on this so much and the feedback from the community on this. And it's great to see that so many people are behind this. But I hope that nobody ever loses sight that whatever is on that bill, that is the overall goal here of all of us. We all got lives and we all have importances in our life. But the goal of every one of us as adults is to build the future, is to make sure that there's an investment in the future. And these kids have it.
And one of the things that I so appreciate being in public education is this is a public service. When I'm able to walk alongside and talk with the families about how their children are doing in school, or people come up to me at like a wrestling event we went to last night, or various ways that I'll see in the supermarket, that just you can tell that this really matters to them. And the ways that we can help people see, watching these students grow and see things in themselves that they didn't see before, and watch that doesn't happen overnight. We have gone out, especially our community, is that last April we really worked with our community to identify our priorities and what direction we want to grow. And the fact of the matter is, our schools are a mirror of our community. They're a core, that they're a meeting place. People come together around that. And we respect, that's a trust. That's a public trust of which what we do goes a long ways. And we don't take that for granted, and we so appreciate it.
And the things that you're speaking to and the events you're talking about being out there, that's, I would imagine, a big part of the job. Certainly there is so much to do in the office and in the building and that, but getting out there, being out in the public and talking to people, the parents of the kids or people, that the taxpayers, any of the above, being able to get the pulse of the community and understanding what is needed and the things that are important to the community. That is a key part of all of this too, and I imagine a lot of where this comes from for you, a lot of the data of going forward with this.
Absolutely. And well, again, that's one of the things I love about Nacusa and just the size we are. I grew up in Salt Lake City. My graduating class is bigger than our entire high school population on that. And I sort of felt at times like here was a number, I knew my group that I would work through, but I didn't know much beyond that. Mm-hmm. I love the fact that I can really now get to know, each student as best I can and be able to know the families over several years. And the fact that process, I wake up in the morning not to say, hey, I'm excited to fill this report. You wake up to be able to see what type of impact it has on kids. That's why we're in public education. And that's why so many people come to it, because there's nowhere else that you can make that type of, build those relationships authentically and have that be part of what you're doing. And hey, I love what we do.
Yeah. When it comes to not only the referendum coming up or anything, looking forward to the new year, are there things that just are just fun that you're looking forward to? Are there some events coming up that are just exciting for the kids, for the teachers, for everybody involved that you're eyeballing? That's going to be a fun one. That's going to be good looking coming up.
Well, and a lot of the things that are sort of on the tap is there's certainly a lot. We're in the middle of our winter sports season. And so it's, fun to be able to see the various wrestling tournaments. We're talking boys and girls basketball, a lot of type. It's just, there's a type of energy that's in that. Don't get me wrong, I love a big stadium, but sometimes in a closed gym, just energy really just sort of comes right up. And so that's fun to sort of watch those around. But I also am just excited to, one other thing is just, as they're coming up, is just, for me, I guess, the big events that it's a lot of the same ones each year. I know, for example, our math league we've got a bunch of our students at the middle school and the high school who have math competitions that they go to, and it's an academic competitions, whatever. And it's sort of fun to watch them, and they're boning up and getting ready for that right now. It doesn't look like the same it is in a gym, but it's the same process. Yeah. And a lot of where the excitement is just where is the energy for students. We've got junior prom coming up. That certainly has its fun energy that comes with it. And so just it's seeing how the things that you're looking forward to is really the contours of what's going on in student life. And there's a lot of professional type of things that are fun to watch too, but those are sometimes a little more inside baseball and not of general interest, but stuff I'm excited about that are developing and seeing how we're growing with that. But it's just really, so I'd have to say things looking forward to is just enjoying working alongside the students.
We're speaking with Nathan Black, District Administrator with School District of Nacusa. And Nathan, one of the things that I like to make sure to mention before we wrap up is certainly the need for volunteers for, whether it is volunteers for some events different events that go on where kids are traveling or anything, chaperoning, or if we're looking for maybe coaches or things for or assistants and volunteers for some of the sporting events or some of the other things we've talked about today. And certainly school bus drivers. We're always looking for good ones of those, too, in the district.
Absolutely. Like one of the things that is a common factor that now anyone who's a volunteer, we have to go through background checks. We work all the security type of stuff. But I love walking through Humke Elementary, and there's often we'll have people who are out there. We have volunteers who come in and are reading to our students and having them a chance to have one-on-one time that you can't get in any other way to see how that comes. There's a couple of the volunteers that I'll run into who work, for example, at multiple buildings, and I'll run into them as I'm going between them, and I'll sort of catch them as they go. And it's like, hey, we're on the same shift back. We're just sort of passing along, and just the energy that brings. And so people who are interested in doing that, please go ahead and contact our district office, 715-886-8000. And they will be able to find a way to, if you have an interest on some of our field trips, some of them are reading opportunities. We have some tutors who come and work with students. Basically, if you have some passion, we have some needs, and let's go ahead and put those together.
It's a great opportunity to, again, impact your community, to impact the future, to be a part of things. And I have to say, as somebody who gets to work with kids a lot and in acting and teaching that and everything, it's such a rejuvenating thing. Like, it's one of those things where there are grinds, there are days where you're grinding, you're trying to get through, or maybe the politics of the business can be, get heavy or something. I get into that classroom and I get around those young people and them talking about it and their energy, and I come out of it and I'm like, I don't know what I was thinking. I don't know. I'm just completely rejuvenated. It is something that you can feel too by volunteering, by being a part of things, by just being around young people. Oftentimes that energy is palpable. It is contagious, and it is really something that you carry with you throughout your day.
It is. And that's the thing that I know of the why teachers stay in the business, because you love watching growth. Mm-hmm. You love watching people be more than they were before you started.
Yeah, yeah.
And you're saying, hey, I was just a feeling of knowing I was part of that. There's nothing like it else. That's what education's about.
And we're always looking for good people to volunteer to be a part of these things. Nathan, you did just mention it. If you wouldn't mind, again, if people have follow-up questions, they want to know more about some of what we talked about today, how can they reach you?
So you can always go ahead and look at our website that has a lot of our contact information. That's nakusasd.net. And then, or always call our district office. Diana Martinson is a wonder worker, our district secretary, and she'll be able to set those up. Her number is, and our number is 715-886-8000.
Appreciate the time, as always, to you, your staff, to everybody in the Nakusa area. Wishing you all a happy New Year's and joy, and we'll talk again real soon.
Thank you.
We'll have more Midday Magazine coming up for you. We've got our friends from the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club coming up, thanks to our good friends at the Wisconsin Rapids Visitors Bureau. That is right around the corner, coming up right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR. We are locally grown radio.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. The beginning of the year means a new session for the Wisconsin State Legislature. Members of the State Senate and State Assembly were sworn into office on Monday, January 6th. There are a lot of new faces in that group, with 6 new members in the State Senate and 31 new representatives in the State Assembly. While Republicans will remain in the majority, that majority is now the smallest it has been in more than a decade. The days of the GOP's supermajority are over. After last year's elections under new, fairer maps, we'll see if those smaller majorities lead to more compromise in a legislature that's been dominated by the right for nearly 15 years. Just a handful of seats make the difference now between a Republican and Democratic majority, and there are many more opportunities now to bring accountability to legislators, especially those in competitive districts. And in a healthy democracy, that's the way things should be.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area and on our website at civicmedia.us.
You're listening to locally grown radio, WFHR.
Wisconsin women's basketball brought to you by 8th Street Auto, Econ Electric, and Johnson & Sons Chrysler Jeep. Listen on 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, and streaming live on the Civic Media app.
James here, host of Unlabeled, your 90s mixtape, every Sunday from 8 to 9 on WFHR. It's your weekly dose of music, nostalgia, and pop culture exclusively on locally grown radio.
Civic Media, Wisconsin's source for real news and great conversation, offers podcasts of all of our daily shows online and on demand. Simply go to civicmedia.us, click on Daily Shows, and choose the podcast that you want to download. Shows are updated daily, or you can save them and listen all at once. Our podcasts are sponsored by UW Organ and Tissue Donation. You are an organ donor, right? Talk to your family. Get the dot. Save lives. Learn more at heroicdeed.com.
For WFHR and WIRI News, I'm Brittany Merlot. The man wanted for triple homicide is in police custody. The Juneau County Sheriff's Office says that the missing and wanted man, Virgil Thu, has been caught and is behind bars. Just before noon yesterday, there was an increased police presence in the city of Elroy. It's where they found Thu and took him into custody without incident. He is charged in the December deaths of 3 people, including his girlfriend, 33-year-old Elizabeth Colba, and 2 girls in his care. And it's been a problem educators have been warning about. Now, a state agency is adding some data. Stuart J. Waddles has more.
A recent study by the Wisconsin Department of Administration projects a decline of nearly 200,000 Wisconsin residents by 2050. The report attributes the decrease in declining birth rates and the aging of the baby boom generation. While some counties like Dane are expected to grow, others, particularly in the northern part of the state, could see population declines of 15% or more. That could potentially add on to workforce shortages and create problems for those setting school budgets.
And Wisconsin-based Kohl's is set to close some of their stores, with 27 underperforming locations impacted by the decision. The closures are scheduled to happen by April, and none of the affected stores are located in Wisconsin or Minnesota. And the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources is reporting an increase in gray wolf depredations on livestock in 2024. According to DNR data, 2024 saw 84 cases of confirmed or probable wolf depredations on livestock, up from 69 in 2023 and 49 in 2022. DNR officials also reported an increase in the number of wolf harassment complaints from residents. Managing the gray wolf population in the state has become a controversial topic, with lawmakers at odds over whether there should be a set wolf population goal or not. I'm Brittany Merlot for WFHR and WIRI News.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Peach Wabba. Due to the LA wildfires and the devastation they've brought, actress Jean Smart says award shows should be tabled. The two-time Golden Globe winner and star of Hacks says award shows should not be televised and that all the revenue that the telecasts would have brought in should be donated to fire victims. Smart said going forward with the shows is a bad look for the entertainment industry. Keeping with the theme, the Oscars seem to be getting the message. According to Variety, the Academy of Motion Picture Arts and Sciences says voting will be delayed for this year's awards. Voting for the various categories started January 8th, and the new deadline will be January 14th instead of January 12th. As a result, they will push the announcement of nominations back 2 days as well to January 19th. Still way too early just to see how the fires will continue to affect everyone in Southern California. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Peach Wabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Cloudy tonight, a low in the low teens. For tomorrow, mostly cloudy, snow developing by night, highs to the mid-20s. Flurries wrap up Sunday, becoming breezy and colder. High early in the day in the upper 20s, then temps falling. And even colder for Monday and Tuesday.
It's 28 degrees right now.
Max Inc. on Civic Media with Mike and Wendy from Sunspot. Can you imagine the mosh pit on the bridge that could happen?
Oh, well, that's how the original series was. When they moved the camera, whenever it's like the red alert. The,
right.
Yeah. That was the mosh pit.
Yeah. And everybody had to like fake like.
Right. Yeah, lean left. Great. Lean right.
Yeah.
Join us for all the fun with Max Inc. on Saturday night, 6 to midnight, across the Civic Media Radio Network and on the Civic Media app.
Hey there, it's Carrie Joy with your Work Money Minute. My savings tip for today is about meal planning. I know you've heard of it, but let's talk about it. Meal planning will save you money, it reduces impulse purchases, helps you not waste food, and it may be the very best thing you can do to cut back on your weekly spending. It also helps cut back the number of arguments we have in my house about what's for dinner. A writer of a recent Reader's Digest article said that she saved herself $500 a month on meal planning. I mean, we all eat differently, but those are some real savings. I know, meal planning can be a pain. So I reward myself with a treat while I plan. A beer, some ice cream, maybe a recipe magazine. And in my house, the planner does not have to be the shopper. That's real motivation. For more everyday money tips, check out workmoney.org. Till next time, this is Carrie Joy saying, take good care.
Todd Albaugh.
Hey everybody, join us next time as we will look back on the weekend news happenings and also review the Packers game and what lies ahead, if anything. Join us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2.
Welcome, everybody, to Midday Magazine for this Friday, January 10th, 2025. Have your host, James J. Mayloff, here, welcoming into the studio our good friends from Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club and Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. We have with us, and I'll let you guys introduce yourselves as I say your name, we have Dave Kahn's here with us, head coach of the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club, our Krakens. Dave, always good to see you. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me back.
We have Amy Marquardt.
Markward.
Thank you. That's a beautiful name, Amy. I want to get that right. Amy is the club secretary. Thank you very much for being here, Amy. And our good friend Dawn DeSarcy is with us, recreation supervisor with the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. Dawn, is always good to see you.
Well, thanks for having me.
thanks for being here. Appreciate the time, you all. And I really do appreciate the club being in town, the everything that has been put into it. If you don't mind, I would like to start right there, Dave, with what the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club is and the kind of things you guys do. And it's also an opportunity for me to say Krakens. I just love any opportunity to be able to say that, sir. I'm gonna take it every chance I can in this interview. But Dave, thanks for being here.
Well, you got to remember, too, that, you know, the famous line, release the Krakens. Yes, so that's why we kind of...
As an 80s kid, I have to... Yeah, Clash of the Titans is so playing in my head right now as you say that. Yeah. But how is the club? How are things going?
Well, we found it an opportunity that we needed a swim club here in town because we just really didn't have one. And if you remember back in the 70s and the 80s and even in the 90s, Wisconsin Rapids was just a powerhouse with swimming. I coached a number of years down in the Milwaukee area, and I just absolutely hated Rapids coming down to the metro area because they beat everyone. And now I had an opportunity to move to Wisconsin Rapids after my retirement, and I thought, you know, we really should put this back in town. You know, given that water is in our name, it really should be a part of the community. So I've got some individuals together, and we put some parents together, and we approached the rec department, and boy, everything just fell into place just like one right after the other. The club right now is an educational type opportunity for kids. It is an ability for them to be part of a team, to practice their skills at learning the four strokes that we have, mm-hmm. butterfly, backstroke, breaststroke, and freestyle. And it's a club organization and a team function. Mm-hmm. So the kids have relays, they have individual events. What I like about it is that right now we have a meet coming up tomorrow at Merrill, Wisconsin, and we have 35 swimmers that are going to attend that meet. Not five like a basketball team, mm-hmm. not nine like might be on a baseball team. Mm-hmm. Everybody gets the chance to swim. Everybody is a part of it. So there's no restrictions on ages, on abilities. You don't have to be a great swimmer to be a part of our club. Because of the age group process, you're only swimming against, if you're eight, you're only swimming against eight-year-olds. Yeah. If you're 10, it's 9 and 10 and so forth. And given the fact that there are so many heats and you're based on time mm-hmm. rather than ability, it makes a great opportunity for kids to get involved, not only as an athletic type thing where they're going to become stronger mm-hmm. and swim better, but it's also team building. You get a chance to meet with all kinds of kids, not only from our club, but from the individuals that come to the invitationals. We'll probably see about eight swim clubs from the area that'll be there, and we'll be competing. So there's an opportunity to make those connections with other kids, other parents. They get to talk, you know, how's your club doing? Well, this is a great idea. We'd love to see that. And, you know, they talk to our parents. I don't know how many times, so I've been sitting on the deck, and other coaches have watched our kids, and they'll come to me and say, well, what are you doing that these kids can do that? And then I'll spend time with them and actually lay some things in the activities that we do here in Rapids and mm-hmm. the practice times that we have and what we actually do during a practice. So it's been really a growth for us, mm-hmm. and we're just starting our second year.
Yeah.
We're almost close to, 60 competitors mm-hmm. right now. So we've doubled in size.
Yeah,
80% of our kids are 10 and under. So building that kind of base and continuing to grow that kind of base will really see great things in the future for the Krakens.
It's noteworthy, Dave, all the things you mentioned there. A couple of those things we'll come back to. One of the things that I think that should be brought up as well, though, and I appreciate the giving of compliments and handing our flowers out as we have to the community, to some of our other members and some people even in this room. But Dave, I do want to throw this back at you a little bit, too. You brought up a key word in that sentence in what you were saying there, retired. You're retired, sir. You're not doing this right. You're not. No. But in all seriousness, you have a skill set. You have an ability to be able to offer to our community that we don't necessarily have just laying around. You doing that is just as noteworthy as everything else you've mentioned. It is very appreciated that you're doing that for these kids, for our community. The empowering of kids. I was just talking with the superintendent of NACUSA about this. And as adults, I've got three kids. They're all in their 20s. They're not in the school district anymore. They're not doing those things. That my job has not changed. My job is still to help empower kids, is still to help the youth. The greatest investment any of us will ever make with our time, with our money, with anything is investing in kids. I looked it up before the interview. Kids are still the future, it turns out. So to any of us doing, all of us doing that in whatever ways we are is all impactful. And then to be doing that at your age and when you could just be sitting back, you know, watching your favorite TV show or something like that, man, it's very noteworthy and I appreciate it. And I wanted to make sure that we made note of it. And wanted to talk about the event coming up too that you touched on, Dave. We've got a meet right around the corner. And Amy, if you don't mind coming up to the mic a little bit, because I want to make sure the audience hears you on this one.
Yes.
Can we tell people about the meet, how they can attend it, what they're going to be seeing?
Yes. Well, January 25th is our first Kraken Home Meet. We're part of the Central Wisconsin Swim Conference and having our first regular season meet. We've had a great response from parents and families all wanting to come in. How do we volunteer? What needs to be donated? We've also gone into different local businesses, thank you Pick and Save and Walmart, that have offered us money for our concessions. And we've also gotten response on raffle baskets. So we'll have a very nice selection of raffle baskets if you want to stop down at Lincoln High School on January 25th and really support our team. We're going to have over 300 swimmers across Wisconsin. We're hosting six teams. So we're very excited to bring this to the community and hoping that this is more meets to come.
With for one, I think another thing that Dave touched on, I wanted to make sure to come back to, was how popular swimming is in this area and has been for a very long time, and the revitalizing of that and bringing that back. I think we're seeing that not only in a second year of this and hearing some of those numbers there, not just with the attendance, but the people that are coming in. But I think one of the key parts of that is what you mentioned there about people, individuals in the community, parents, different people wanting to be a part of this, wanting to volunteer, wanting to help be a part of that and everything. That's just as noteworthy as the event. Mm-hmm. Exactly. It's really impressive, and it speaks to how much we love this this sport in this area, and how much this helps kids. You know, something that Dawn and I and our Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau have talked about before, and we've talked about with our YMCA a lot, is how important it is for kids to learn to swim, just in general swimming, and so them getting more comfortable with that, and the more reps they get in within the water and understanding it, regardless of where they go with this, swimming in general, if they continue to do it in school or even in college or anything, or they just become avid swimmers or lovers of swimming. All of this, there's no downside to this. There's no negative side to this. It's all great. And while it all is about empowering them, it's also fun, the competition part of it. It is fun to kind of root for your teams, root for your kids, that part. We all love a good, some competition. It brings out things in people, too. There's nothing wrong with that. I think part of the event, too, is the raffle. If you are going to have an event, I talk about this all the time. Any event in Wisconsin, have a raffle attached to it.
Yes.
And I say that jokingly, but in all seriousness, people love raffles. And they sometimes that's what brings them out.
Thank you.
I do want to thank the people that, help those baskets, those raffles come together, too.
Oh, definitely. Definitely.
Big thank you to all.
A lot of families coming in. Raise Coca-Cola has donated a few baskets. We're getting some other baskets from some auto dealerships and everything. So hopefully we'll have a nice selection for everyone to come down.
With the event coming up and everything, the deadline closed for being a part of things if you wanted to donate to the raffle or put into it or anything?
No, we're still looking at for donations for concessions and for our raffle basket. So, feel free to email info.wrsc.swim@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to work with you to see how we can connect and make this a success.
Before we wrap up, we'll get that email email out there again one more time. And thank you, Amy, for that. And kind of bringing this to all of you here, but one of the things that stands out to me also about this event is the opportunity for kids to, you know, interact with other kids from other schools and other places and so much of that. That's a really fun aspect of this, the community aspect of this, and bringing so many people together that may not be in the room together with, otherwise. That is a fun part of it. And certainly, again, getting back to the revitalizing of this sport in this area and really like being a part of that. It's an investment. And while things are, we're seeing the we're hearing the numbers that we do this year, I can't imagine 3, 4, 5 years down the line where these numbers are going to be and how popular this could be, and getting it back to where it was. It's a really powerful thing. And everybody can take a little pride in that, I think. When it comes to the event itself, do we need tickets? Can you just show up? How does that
work? Yes. Nope. There's no entry fee to come. You can come. I think we're starting it at 9 a.m. I'm sure that'll be in the City Times as well, when closer to the event. But yeah, 9 o'clock, and it'll probably go to around 4, 3:34. Yeah.
And when it comes to a swimming event, let's say somebody out there sounds they're interested in this, Dave, but maybe they've never attended a meet before. They may not know the rules or the scoring or some of these things. As somebody who walked into the sport late and everything, just a good friend of mine was into it. I found that I was able to adapt and pick up really quickly how this works. And I think a lot of us watch Olympic swimming. I don't want to say it's the same type of thing, but I feel like if you've watched Olympic swimming, you have a bit of a gist of an idea of what this is, what you're going to be seeing.
Yeah, well, the way our meets lay out is that because of so many kids being involved in it, the morning session starting at 9 o'clock, you'll see anybody that's 10 and under. So there's two sets of relays that the kids will be swimming in, and then they will have the individual events. Then starting around noon, the warm-ups will start, and then we'll have our 11 and older kids that will swim. But it's just not down and back. We've got swims that'll be the 1,000 freestyle. We have the 500 freestyle. We have 200s where the kids will swim 8 lengths of freestyle or backstroke, breaststroke. So it's not only just down and back and the quick and easy, but some of these are very, very challenging. And we have, just to talk about our club a little bit, you know, we were able to attend the state meet last year. We had 4 competitors. Well, the way it works, though, is when you age up, now you're in a new age group, and now the times get a little faster. So we're right in between that. But, boy, we have probably about 8 kids that are right on the verge of making that next leap to where not only we're going to compete locally, but we'll compete at the state level. We're not quite there yet. But, you know, when you're talking about a kid who is 9 years old, now has to make those cuts. He turns 10 years old, gets a little easier, but you really have to hustle when you're 9 to make cuts that are required of a 10-year-old, and that's where the conditioning and their dedication to the sport really pays off. One thing, though, I wanted to touch on, though, too, is that, you know, with our kids, you know, we have a lot of troubled teens and a lot of kids, and I actually go out there and try to find those kids to bring them to the pool. Because if you're dedicated to a sport like this and you can come to the pool, work with other kids, you're not only learning a sport, but you're also working team leadership, team building, sportsmanship. It really pays off. And I've talked to some of the administrators over at our middle school that when those kids are coming to practice and they're kind of wore out, you know, it kind of increases their studies and their ability to function in a classroom, and we're out there trying to find those kids and bring them to us so that we can do something for them.
Appreciate that on many levels, one for our community, one for the future, but just on a personal level, I was one of those kids. I was a knucklehead, man. I really was. And there's no way I would be in this chair. There's no way I'd be in the position I am in life right now without sports. Whether it was you know, my father teaching me boxing at a young age, or me moving to this area, and I was horrible at making friends, just could not be worse at it. But as soon as kids saw how fast I was, all of a sudden they knew my name, and I started making friends real quickly from that and everything. And before I know it, I'm in track and field, I'm in football, I'm in basketball. Some of these things, athletics do so much more for every Michael Phelps, Katie Ledecky, for all the things that we could hope for out of these kids or the dream of. It is so important that they're just getting those experiences. experiences. They're getting that chance to build themselves up, to build some confidence. And doesn't hurt to wear them out a little bit. That never hurts a little. As a parent, I will say that certainly doesn't hurt. I would like to also touch on one other thing that you brought up, Dave, that I think is really great, and especially having Dawn here. And that's kind of rewinding a little bit and how this even came to be. And you've mentioned it, and I mentioned before even, where this wasn't as it was popular when I first came here. When I was in high school, I graduated in the late 90s, and it was still very popular then. But it did fade for a little while there. To bring this club back, to bring swimming really back in force in this area, it took a lot of people behind the scenes, took a lot of work. You touched on this a little bit before. And Dawn, we were talking in our pregame a little bit about this as well. Dawn, how did this develop from your perspective from the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau?
Well, Dave actually approached me, I believe, first, right? And we kind of talked about getting the club together, and there were more involved. Obviously, we've got Dave, we've got Amy, we've got several others who were so involved in getting this going. Just such a dedicated group of parents and volunteers and the kids, I mean, the swimmers. We had to get the okay from our commission because it's a big program for us. This was a huge undertaking and a lot of details to iron out and get figured out. And it was kind of a slow process to get it going. I know we got started later last year than we had hoped, but we had to make sure everything was covered and we had done things correctly. And then once we got it going, it has taken off, as you can see. But not without the dedication of everybody else. I mean, we had a small part in it compared to the dedication of everybody else that has gotten this going. So we appreciate them bringing it to us, but it's been quite a... been fun. Been fun to see it take off.
There are any foundation, there are no small bricks. Every foundation needs bricks, needs a foundation. And so your part in this, or Dave's, or anybody's parts in this, or none of it happens without those pieces.
Right.
And it's such and I say that not just out of pride, but out of love of this. I love this event. I love what is happening with this and everything. And it's so, I don't know about you guys, but taking a step back and seeing the big picture of this, how this impacts the future, how this impacts kids and everything. I don't know how you can't be excited about it and really, really excited about the meet coming up as well. When it comes to the work that the Bureau still does with the swim club and everything, are you guys still involved intricately with it as far as like promoting it and helping these events get out there and such?
Oh, yeah. They still are dedicated with that stuff.
Great. Good. And that's certainly key to helping this survive and get on its feet and everything.
Yes.
I imagine, you know, working with the rafters when they first moved here, and then eventually at some point, they're okay. They can advertise for themselves. That's kind of where I'm going with this, where we're hoping to build up the swim club, where not that you're not a part of it or helping promote it, but that it's a little bit more on its own. So I think we're getting closer and closer to that, and events like this really help. As we're wrapping up, I do want to let people know how they can get their kids involved with the swim club, and certainly go over the details of the meet again. So just real quick, Dave, how people can find out more, whether it is getting their kids involved in this sport or maybe volunteering and helping out with it. How can they do that?
Well, we are at the Lincoln High School pool. We're at the community pool, and we're pretty much there every single night of the week now between 6 and 8 p.m. We have our practice schedules. Last night we had 35 kids in the pool. So it really is quite a show to watch these kids as they compete, you know, in the pool and have their practice sessions. So you can come on down and stop in and see what we've got going on. There's, you know, you sit on the bleachers. We got plenty of bleacher space. We have a phone number here for the rec department, 715-421-8240. And then we also have a Facebook page that they can go ahead and look at for the Wisconsin Rapids Swim Club. So that'll give you an idea of the activities. We've got thousands and thousands of pictures out there, so you can kind of see what we look like. Of course, everybody's familiar with Facebook. And then, you know, the rec department itself is a great place to get that information, and Dawn is certainly great to steer those people to us so we can get a chance to talk to them. And I'm a substitute teacher for the district, so I'm out in the schools all the time handing out little flyers, and the great folks over at Assumption are real happy to have me over there. So it's not just the public school system mm-hmm. that we're reaching out to. It's all the schools.
Yeah. And
would just like to mention, too, we have swimmers from Port Edwards and Nakusa and, you know, out surrounding areas. Mm-hmm. Is Rudolph?
And I think Pittsville.
Yeah, and we have Pittsville swimmers as well. So it's not just Rapids.
Mm-hmm.
Because we have such an eight-lane facility, 25-yard, beautiful, beautiful pool, we've got kids coming from all over the area mm-hmm. to be part of this. So it's not just Wisconsin Rapids. It's everybody around that hears about us. And I have a great relationship with Think Academy up there mm-hmm. in Rudolph, and we have four of their youngsters out now that come to every day for practice. So it's a community effort.
Yeah. Great to hear that. And keep that in mind to all you listeners out there, wherever you are listening to us in the area, your kids are welcome. We want you to be a part of this. And when it comes to the meet coming up, Amy, if we can just touch on the details one more time, when the meet is and how people can attend.
Yeah, so the meet is January 25th, Lincoln High School. Warm-ups will start up before 9. We start at 9. Like David mentioned, 8 and unders in the morning. I'm sorry, 10 and unders in the morning and 11 up in the afternoon. So, yeah, we're excited.
And that info you gave us earlier, if anybody wants to be a part of things, whether it's, you know, adding to the raffle baskets out there. It's a little pun intended right there. But anything like that, if they wanted to reach you for that.
Yeah, so you can reach us on Facebook or info.wrsc.swim@gmail.com, and I'd be happy to work with you and give you some... you know, have your logo posted mm-hmm. at our meet and whatever we can do to share how great our community is.
Appreciate that, Amy, and thank you very much for the time being here today. And, of course, Dawn, as we're wrapping up, want to remind everybody how they can reach out to the Bureau and find out more and great ways to promote, whether it's your business, your nonprofit, your event, whatever it might be. Cannot encourage you enough to reach out to our Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau. How can they do that? I got a website here. I can tell them.
I was going to say, on the CVB website?
Yeah. Go to visitwirapids.com. Visitwirapids.com. You'll be able to not only find a calendar of events of other great things going on in our community, but to be able to reach out to the Visit Wisconsin Rapids Bureau, find out more ways that you can be a part of the community, get your events out there. And there are so many great things going on in our area this week, and cannot encourage you enough to check them out. I keep focusing on the River Kings. I'm sorry. I'm a hockey kid. But not only is that going on this weekend, but you got the Winter Farmers Market kicking off again at the Moravian Church. That is kicking off again tomorrow, and plenty of other great stuff that you can find at visitwirapids.com. Visitwirapids.com. Thank you all for the time and everything you put into our community. Thank you.
Thank you.
And a big thank you to the heart of this station, Pam Hilke, and the amazing scheduling she does week in and week out. We appreciate you, Pam. Have a good weekend, everybody. We'll have more Midday Magazine for you next week, right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, locally grown radio.
The Todd Alba Show.
Donald J. Trump has been officially certified the winner of the 2024 election the way that the Constitution dictates. You see how simple that is? There's a vote, you certify the results, democracy moves on. You might not like the results. The person I wanted to have elected didn't win, but that's the way democracy works. Unlike 4 years ago on January 6th, where rioters stormed the Capitol.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2, on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Matt Nair on Air.
It is our 1 year anniversary here on Matt Nair on Air. Thank you, Greg and Calvin, for being on this journey with me. It's been great.
Thanks for having me. I can't speak for Calvin.
I'm always thrilled to be here.
Unbridled.
The enthusiasm
enjoyment.
Brimming over from you, Calvin. I'm overwhelmed. Thank you.
Matt Nair on Air. Weekdays 10 till noon on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. This is locally grown radio, WFHR. Pat Kreitlow.
Monday morning, we'll talk to Judge Susan Crawford, candidate for Wisconsin Supreme Court, on defending a progressive seat against Scott Walker's attorney general.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow. Weekday mornings starting at 6.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life.
SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us. This is locally grown radio.
WFHR 1320 AM, W248DE Wisconsin Rapids.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app. The Todd Alba Show.
What's going on in Washington today as we move into 2025? Have your antenna up. Don't rely on all the media sources. Just your own wisdom, your own heart, your own gut. Listen to what they're saying about our friends and neighbors and family. Because we innately know these people that we live with every day in our communities. Don't allow words and thoughts to tear us apart. Hold fast to that which we know, which is good.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Earl Ingram.
The Republicans and Donald Trump want to impose tariffs. They say it's going to bring in $2.7 trillion.
That's what they say when they're trying to justify a tax reduction. Those broad tariffs are not good for the average American.
You know, Sandy, I'm not a guy that knows anything about calculus and any of those things, but I do know how to add and subtract. They're adding to the national debt.
The Earl Ingram Show, weekday mornings 8 to 10 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
That first time seeing my son, I feel like my life did a 180. He really a definition of like why he loves somebody.
Through all of fatherhood's firsts, never stop being a dad. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
CBS News Brief. Some Southern California wildfire victims have told Los Angeles County Supervisor Catherine Barger their insurance claims have already been denied.
It is completely mind-boggling to me that people who have lost everything are filling up a form as told and then are getting an immediate denial.
A snow and ice storm stretching from Texas to Georgia is stranding drivers and airline passengers. Patrick Sheehan is Tennessee's emergency management director.
Travel safely if you have to be out and about and give lots of room to our...
On the Badger Sports Network from Learfield, this is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger basketball.
Across the line, right side, he'll launch it for three at the horn. He got it at the buzzer to the rim, and he sends it down with the left hand. Right side shooting for the win. Got it! Bronson Koenig! Step back three straight on. Got it!